Father, thank you for your Sabbath, for our time of coming together. Thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you come to lead us, guide us, that you have promised to open Yah's word to us, to show us, to teach us. Thank you, Father, that in these end times you are gathering us under your wings. That you have, from the very beginning, made known your commands that we might choose life. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. May we be wise for the days ahead, and may we truly choose to walk in thy way. We may see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You know, this week, just as we've seen around our country, continued lawlessness, riots in more cities, a disregard of the law by those who are in power, whether it's small things like I'll go to a salon that's closed while you can't, to large things like I don't care if the video shows people shooting at him and chasing him and him defending himself, we're still going to charge him with murder. Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's being hit over the head with skateboards. Doesn't matter that he was there trying to give first aid to people. That the narrative we want to portray is all that's important. That we are again seeing lawlessness running rampant in our streets. And a lot of people are horrified. They're mortified. They're going, how did we get to this? But Scripture plainly tells us. Scripture says, because the priest did not proclaim his Torah, the people were unrestrained. And for decades, we have had men of God stand up in the pulpits and say what? There's no consequence. Sin's dealt with. No law, no commandment. It's too heavy. It's a burden. Jesus set us free. Now there's lawlessness. Now, they didn't say, oh, you can go out and be lawless, but they did because they said grace abounds. Regardless that Scripture says, because grace abounds, should sin abound more. They said all you had to do is believe and confess. Those the Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Scripture says you'll know a tree by its fruit. The Scripture says the spring can't bring forth bitter and sweet. Man can't serve two masters. But then we do want to cry during these times, oh, Father, gather us under your wings. When we have no idea of what we're even praying. Do you know how a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings? She raises them up and she clucks at them. And they have to obey. She didn't run around and chase every chick down. She'd lose the ones that were under her wings. She'd trample them. She raises her wings and she clucks. She calls. And they answer. They trust. They believe. If mama is clucking, there's danger. Let me be gathered under her wings. We instead want Yah's wings just to reach us where we are so we can continue in the danger we're doing and be protected anyway. Do you know what the Hebraic idiom for his wings were? The tallit, the prayer shawl. And what was on the edges of the prayer shawl? The tzitzits. And what was expressed purpose of the tzitzits? Remind us of his commandments. So, to be gathered under his wings is gathered under his prayer, and the edges of the prayer as healing burst forth from his wings were the tzitzits, the commands. And does that not line up exactly with what Yah said? Choose life. I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursings, obedience, disobedience. Choose life. Because the wages of sin is death. But people choose death, they choose disobedience, they walk in sin, and then the consequences of it, we want to go to prayer and proclaim life over them. What do you proclaim life over? What did Jesus proclaim life over? Only the dead. He said, well, I asked you what you said. You didn't say. I mean, I don't need to proclaim life over something living. It's already alive. Only speak life to something that's dead. If it's dead, what am I professing? Yeah. It's dead. It's gone. It's the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death. It's not in Messiah. He said, I came to give life and life abundantly. See, even in our prayers, many times we are speaking truth and they don't even realize it. Because, yes, most of the problem is I need to speak life to something because it's dead. I need to speak life to it because the enemy's running rampant. The enemy has control. They are reaping the consequence of their own choice. What we should really be praying and commanding those people are you need to repent. Isn't that the message I came preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, but if I do that, what am I going to have to do? I got to repent. I've got to admit that many times the things that are in my life are the choices that I made because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Because I have walked in my own ways and asked Yah to bless it. That I have not guarded his commands. Be it over and over, scripture says, blessed is the one who guards his commands. And instead, I have prayed and asked Yah to accept a sacrifice that he hasn't asked for. Do we have instances of that in the Old Testament? Many times it was called what? Strange fire. And many times it was a deadly offense. I think we're beginning to see more and more in church today. Attacks as the enemy is ramping up those who even have any semblance of the truth to try to take them out before they can come to the truth. I mean, most of us were there. We were in the church having been told a lie. Our father inherited lies and we inherited lies. But hallelujah, we had the truth. And so do they. That if they would read and let the Ruach HaKodesh take the scales from their eyes, if they would repent, they could hear. The enemy's already told us the game plan. He's already said it doesn't matter the outcome of the elections. All the votes won't have been counted for weeks, and they're not going to declare the election. They're going to contest it. They're going to riot. They're going to cause turmoil until every vote is counted. Why would we not believe that they're going to do exactly what they say they're going to do? I mean, they're getting now to where not just stars are lining up, not just out in New York. Last week, Black Lives Matter marched right down the streets of Tuscaloosa with Nick Saban and Alabama football boys right there at the head. Where there are less and less of those who are taking a stand for righteousness and more those who are giving in, those who are going with the expedient, those who are doing what's politically correct. Well, absolutely, I believe Black Lives Matter. I believe the organization, Black Lives Matter, could care less about black lives. Nor do I think they're addressing the main cause of black lives being taken. The lawlessness, the crime in the communities, the fatherlessness, that leads to generational poverty and the sin that brings curses and death. But instead, their very platform is made to ensure those things continue because that continues to put them in power. Why would I stand for an organization that blatantly goes against what they claim to stand for? But in these days where good is called evil and evil called good, that comment is considered racist, that comment is considered evil, that comment is considered uncaring. They crucified Messiah as well. They tried to assassinate his character, saying he was against the government. He was Christ himself. He was a king. He was a heretic. He was a blasphemer. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. They called him evil. though he was love. They said he had hate speech, though he only came to do the will of his Father. And they said he blasphemed the Almighty. When his Father said, "This is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased." Today. But we should awaken. We should be prepared. We should realize whence our help comes from. But we should also obey. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. We finished Exodus last week, and we'll go on to Leviticus. If you're unfamiliar, just join us. We're on the train of spiritual reading. So that we read through the Torah every 3 years instead of just every year. It's a little smaller portions. So we start in Leviticus 1. Interesting thing about Leviticus. Many say, "Oh, this is one of the hardest books of the Bible to understand." The Hebrews thought this is one of the most important books of the Bible to understand. So this is grammar school. Psalms 119. Children learn their alphabet, their ABCs, by learning Psalms 119. Or Psalms 119 predominantly about how great the law is. And they go from that to then writing, and what do they write? Leviticus, which is mainly the law. So that their very foundation from literally infant up as they began to learn was law. They took it seriously when God commanded that you teach your children, that you train them, that when they rise up, when they lie down, when they come by the way, when they're playing, when they sit down to eat, that you teach your children. And why would they teach him his laws? Because God said this is their life. Paul says, it says, "Hereby we know that we love him if we keep his commandments." It's hard to keep what we don't even know. But we have no idea what we've been told is the way, what we've never concentrated on. We just got through reading the temple and the temple furnishings and how they were all patterned and told exactly how to make it. And exactly how Yah wanted them set up, how he wanted them taken down, what he wanted them made out of, the size of it, for what purpose. Even more so, so that it would be acceptable, so that his esteem, his glory, could come and dwell. Do we not want to follow his direction so that he can dwell with us? And now we go about, since he's here, since he can dwell with man, Aaron the priest shall arrange the pieces with the head and the fat on the wood which is on the fire on the slaughter place, but his entrails and his leg he washes with water. And the priest shall burn all of it on the slaughter place as an ascending offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yah. And we complain about bringing a tithe. The offerer had to do there, not the priest, but the one bringing the offering. Fire on the slaughter place, but the entrails and the leg he washes with water. And the slaughter place, but the entrails and the leg he washes with water, and the priest will bring it all and burn it on the slaughter place, and it's ascending offering, offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yah. And the ascending offering of his offering of Yah is a bird, and he shall bring his offering of pure love to Yah.
on the slaughter place, an offering made with fire, sweet fragrance to God. The rest of the grain offering is for Aaron and his sons, but set apart from the offering to God made by fire, and the grain offering which you bring to God is made with leaven. Do not burn any leaven or any honey in the offering to God made by fire. Bring them to God as an offering of the first fruits. They are not burned on the slaughter place. Roasted on the fire, fresh head of new grain, you should put oil on it. Lay frankincense on it, it is a grain offering. The priest should burn the memorial portion, for it is crushed grain. And burn its oil with all the frankincense and offering made by fire to God. So again, he starts off here with specific instructions on how to bring the offering.
The herd or of the flock or just the word, or you can only afford to bring. How can you afford it? What instruments did you have? What boxes did you have at home? Did you bake it? Did you fry it? Did you boil it? Any covenants of no one was left out.
The first fruits offering, you could just roast it over fire. In all of it, he expected you to do more. You gotta have a little salt, you gotta have a little oil, you gotta have a little frankincense. You weren't allowing it. Not if it was an ascending offering.
May Mastodon sit on your right hand and your left hand. Did you ever view her and think nobody's going to be on my right hand and my left hand? What are you talking about? It's a round table. We're all equal. Justice for all. Now, what did he say? Not my idea. This is on my right hand and my left hand. Again, they do what it takes. If I could be inside the rooms of the castle. Why be satisfied to be inside the rooms of the castle if I could be in the court of the castle? Why be satisfied to be in the court of the castle if I could be in the throne room? Not only in this earth, in this age, but in the one to come. I want to obey. I want to give all for Him. And wherever that lands me, then I am sure that's where He has for me to be. That's where He has for me to be in the body. That's where He has me to be in the kingdom. That's where He has me to be in the army. And that wherever that is, cups of water and sat out there and asked them if they wanted a drink. They want to know what's the difference. What are the two cups? And I said, well, them just had pure water in it. Spring water. Well, except for one. It had just a couple drops of water from the bottle. And it was just a little. Hardly any. Thank you. because I listen to my flesh. Because in his light, in his glorious light, there's no hint of darkness. Was that not what I'm to pray now? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jeremiah 31. Boy, Manasseh and Ephraim. And when Yahweh blessed Joseph, Joseph said, let my blessing be on my boy. And Yahweh blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. And each of them got a half inheritance in the land. Now through prophecy, we see many times through your talk. Thank you.
offerings in their hand and bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yah. For that is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yah. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts, write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, to the greatest of them, declares Yah. For I shall forgive their crookedness and remember their sins no more. That is Yah who gives the sun for a light by day, and the laws of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea and its waves roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If these laws vanish from before me, declares Yah, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Is he ever going to forsake his people? Does he not have a covenant with himself? Then will these laws ever vanish from before him? Can they? He has a covenant with himself. I said, God, the heavens above could be measured, and the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath. I would also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done, declared Yah. Can the heavens above be measured? Do we have any idea how large the universe is even today? Estimate. Well, I would say then it couldn't be measured. Then is he going to cast off his people? And if he's not going to cast off his people, then can these laws vanish? See, the days are coming, declares Yah, that the city shall be built for Yah from the tower of Hermel to the corner gate, and the measuring line shall again extend straight ahead to the hill Garab, and it shall turn toward Goa and all the valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields as far.
rejoice over me, O my enemy, when I have fallen, I have risen. When I sit in darkness, Yah is a light to me. I bear the displeasure of Yah, for I have sinned against him until he pleads my case, until I execute right rulings for me, till he brings me out into the light, and I look on his righteousness. Let my enemy see it, and let shame cover her who says to me, where is Yah your Elohim? Let my eyes look on her, now she's trampled down like mud in the streets. The day for building your walls, let the law go far and wide in that day. What's going to happen when it's time for us to repair our walls, when it's time to repair the breach, when it's time to build a city again? Let thy law go far and wide in that day. First Corinthians 3.
I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still fleshly. Now, what's another word for fleshly? Sinful, not lawful. That's not the same as sinful. What is it? Spiritual? Is spiritual sinful?
So sin less would be not transgressing the law. So let's define here quickly what is spiritual and what is fleshly. Spiritual is not up here somewhere. That's from Gnosticism. That's from something that says, oh, it don't matter what you do, just what you know. Well, that doesn't sound like today at all, does it? First one, Israel, is absolutely what you do. No tree by its fruit is absolutely what you do. Whether you break the law or not, even today, supposedly, and our Gnosticism is about what you know, not about what you did. Your face. should that foundation look like? Perhaps it should look like Yeshua Messiah. What did Yeshua Messiah look like? The perfect, sinless Lamb of God. It should look like someone who came to do the will of one who sent him. It should look like not my will be done, but thy will be done. It should look like think not that I have come to do away with the law. I did not come to do away with the law. Not one jot nor tittle shall pass from the law. It should be done on earth as it is in heaven. It should look like that the enemy came and found nothing in him, so he departed for a season. Is that what we teach our walk should look like? It should look like the Messiah kept Sabbath. We should keep the Sabbath. The Messiah Eat clean. If Messiah prayed, we should pray. If Messiah fasted, we should fast. If Messiah lived sinless, our goal should be to live sinless. Our goal should be to take my cross daily and die to self, to live to Messiah. So this life I live, I no longer live to myself, but I live to Messiah. You tell me he's not able to keep you. He's not able to begin to finish the work that he began in you. You tell me greater is he that's in the world than he that's within you. See, first I have to believe. First I have to receive. First I have to appear to even find out how I'm supposed to walk. I have to do as Messiah commanded me to do. Take his yoke and learn. A workman who needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of I must be washed in the water of the Word. I must let His Word, which is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, divide asunder in me all that is not of Him. I must be pruned. I must be purged. I must be chastised for my own profit. Build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. He
fire. Do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? I'm telling you. The days ahead are going to test what has been built on our foundation. And we will see whether it was with gold, silver, precious stones. Do you know what gold and silver and precious stones brought back to the minds of a Hebrew? The tabernacle. All the furnishings, gold and silver, and the holy place, and the breastplate of precious jewels. And what did that bring to remembrance? The commands. Or you can build on it with what they install. Doesn't cost years, but to build on what they install. I need that thing to see where they are on the field. Even though the parable said that he
didn't bring it down.
What's that? Go.
I didn't figure we'd need the food bucket for service. I didn't bring it down. I thought we got that for service.
You get a full service, it sits right down there in your pile of crap.
Well, when I used to go to